Blog Talk Radio.
Miami Heat fans, I'm Joshy Laurie, joined by my co-host Sylvia Guevara, and this is episode number 4 of the Heat Wave Radio Show. We're here to keep you up to date with the Miami Heat and the D-League team, the Scale Fall Skyforce. First things first, Sylvia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, even though it's raining once again in Miami. It always rains 365 days of the year. It's amazing.
Wow. I never thought I'd say this, but we're talking about late November, and I think the weather in Maryland is actually better than it is down in South Florida. I'd be saying that. I'd say it's about 50, maybe 45 degrees here in Maryland. It's pretty nice. Can't complain too much.
Nice.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. You need to listen to some weather show for that mess. We're here to talk about the Miami Heat. Now, we were unable to do the post-game show after Thursday's game against the Sacramento Kings because of technical difficulties. But one thing that stood out to both Sylvia and I was Amari Stoudemire coming off the bench after not playing since the season opener. Sylvia, I'm going to throw this to you real quick. What were your thoughts on his production in his 8 minutes in the first half when Whiteside was in a lot of foul trouble?
Right, like you said, he hasn't played at all since the first game of the season. You know, I was a bit surprised and not, because he's a veteran. He knows how to win. He knows how to step up. So I was happy when I saw those 10 points in the first half when Whiteside had two fouls. You know, I was amazed. He 10 points, a few rebounds, you know, and I was just happy with his performance. Even though he didn't play for the rest of the game, I was just a happy camper.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, the Heat ended up winning this game comfortably. So, I mean, those 10 points, I'm not going to say they were huge in deciding the game, because knowing Miami, that production probably would have come from the guards in terms of scoring, but it was great to see that Stoudemire wasn't rusty when he came off the bench. We know a number of occasions when Whiteside ends up getting in foul trouble early just because of the way the game is played and the fact that he is always going to be going for shot blocks. So to know that Stoudemire has that veteran mentality and can just come off the bench, even if he hasn't played in like 2-3 weeks, and still give great production, you've got to be thrilled about that, because that's going to come into play later in the season, especially definitely in the playoffs, because you know how playoff basketball changes. And this is exactly why Stoudemire was brought along. I remember during the broadcast they mentioned that he hasn't been playing a lot and said part of that was because they wanted to make sure he's healthy for games like this. I remember I heard Bill Simmons during the podcast talk about how the Patriots use Rob Gronkowski. They don't really feature him in every game. They kind of just like make sure everything's running with him and then put him back in the garage to make sure he's not hurt, but to know that when they need him, he's there. And I feel like this game was exactly that with Amari. Anything else you want to talk about with this and Stoudemire's performance, Sylvia?
No, I just thought it was great, you know, to see him as a veteran just step up like that. I'm happy he played. At least he played for the first half. You know, because they're not playing the veterans that much. We don't see Birdman as much. We don't see Haslam or Stoudemire. So I was just happy to see him, you know, get a couple minutes in the first half.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Whiteside has been averaging like 30 minutes a night, which is something I didn't think was possible given how he played last year. So I just got to say that is great. Now, right now, the Miami Heat have been doing pretty good. I'm actually checking their schedule real quick right now. They are 7-4, which is good for the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference so far. And after only playing two games last week, they've got a busy schedule coming up in front of them. Tonight, they're going to be hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. Sylvia and I will get into the nitty-gritty of that game at 6:30 tonight on NFL Radio's Miami Heat pregame show. Be sure to tune into that and also to the postgame show at 11 o'clock tonight. But they also play two games against the Knicks on Monday at home and on Friday in New York. And in between those games, they take a trip up to Detroit to play the Pistons. So I just want to give you guys a feel for how these teams are going so far, and just for me and Sylvia to give real quick thoughts on this game. Not going to spend too much on the first game. The 76ers, they are by far the worst team in the NBA so far this season. They are 0-13. That's right, 0-13. So far they've been averaging 90 points a game, which is the worst scoring offense in the league. They have been allowing opponents to score 140.8 points a game, which is just, they're getting outscored by basically 15 points a night. That's the 24th worst scoring defense in the league. They've got the worst offensive rating in the league, 26th defensive rating. Like I said, it's not good for this team. The injury report, they've got power forward Rashard Holmes, a rookie. He's questionable for tonight's game with a hamstring injury. I don't know how that's going to go, but he's probably not going to play tonight. They also have Carl Laundrie, who's out until January, recovering from wrist surgery. And, of course, the big man, and who they are hoping can still come back and be a franchise center, Joel Embiid. He's recovering from foot surgery and is currently out indefinitely. Figures to miss the entirety of this season, just like he did last year, which isn't looking too good for his long-term prospects.
Right.
Now, as far as their team leaders, rookie Jahlil Okafor is their leading scorer at 18.1 points per game. He's also the guy playing the most for them, averaging 33.2 minutes a night. Their leading rebounder is second-year man Nerlens Noel. T.J. McConnell is their leading assist man, the rookie point guard, averaging 6.5 assists a night. And Jeremiah Grant is the leading block man with 1.6 a night. And finally, at steals, we've got two guys leading them in steals, with Nerlens Noel and Robert Covington each averaging 1.5 steals per night. So, just real quick, Sylvia, what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, as we were talking earlier, I wasn't aware that the 76ers were the worst team in the NBA, 0-13. So, tonight I'm not expecting much from them. As you said before, they have a lot of injuries, and that could be a factor as well. So we could easily say if the Heat play, their parts right, they will win. I hope they don't embarrass them. I would say by 30 or 35 points, the Heat are going to win, because just by the Heat bench enough, they could win this game. I've seen the 76ers with their record 0-13, so I don't think I have much to say about this team.
I know, and people have joked about the fact that it looks like Miami's front office is trotting out a D-League team with a lot of the players who've been on their roster. They actually don't have anybody over the age of 26. And Nerlens Noel, who's been on the team for 3 years but missed the entirety of his original rookie season recovering from a torn ACL, is the veteran leader on the squad. And there was actually a video in the Vibe of Cribs that was posted online at Barstool Sports, and he's got a hoop that is 10.5 feet tall in his house. I don't know how that's supposed to help with the jump shot, but that's the type of guy who's the leader on the team. So there's still a work in progress. I think it will be an easy win for Miami, but like we said, we're going to get a lot more in depth into that game later tonight.
Right.
On Monday and on Friday, the Heat are going to be playing home and away games against the New York Knicks, as I mentioned earlier. The Knicks are actually doing pretty good this season. After one of the worst teams in franchise history, they've got a 7-6 record so far. Rookie and number 4 overall pick, Kristaps Porzingis, has been looking like an absolute phenom. I'll talk about him a little bit more later. But right now they're averaging 98.4 points a game. That's good for 22nd in the league. Their defense is only allowing 97.5 points per game, which is the eighth best scoring defense. Their offensive rating is 15. Their defensive rating is 14. So they're literally the middle-of-the-pack team that you would be expecting, given their record and the numbers are building up. The schedule for this week, other than the two games against the Heat, tonight they're hosting the Houston Rockets, and on Wednesday they're hosting the Orlando Magic. And
No, I was going to mention, you mentioned the Houston Rockets, you know, they just fired their head coach, so. And they're actually doing better. They actually did better the next day that they played, you know, without their head coach. It's unfortunately that happens in the NBA or any team in sports, you know, they have to fire the coaches first, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really isn't great, but it does happen. We could get into talking about the Rockets a little more later, because I wouldn't say they're playing better, but they did pick up a solid win against the Trailblazers earlier this week. All right. Now, as far as their leaders, when it comes to scoring, it's obvious who it is. Carmelo Anthony, 23.2 points per game. What's surprising is he's leading the team in assists. Of course, when you hear the number, it makes a little more sense. He's averaging 3.5 assists tonight, which isn't the greatest thing for their defense. Like I said, Kristaps Porzingis, a.k.a. Godzingis, a.k.a. the drunken Latvian. I've heard him called as the Latvian gangbanger. I'm not really sure I agree with that nickname, but there is a picture floating around of him when he was like 13 years old repping cornrows, which I gotta say is a great look. It's been the cover photo on my Facebook profile for like the last 2 months. But yeah, Porzingis, who got booed draft night by all the Knicks fans, has been fantastic this season. He's averaging double-digit points. Also leading the team in rebounds, averaging 8.4 a night, which is fantastic for a rookie. Robin Lopez, their center, also known for his feud with every NBA mascot. I'm not even kidding. If you YouTube Robin Lopez mascots, you will find just the greatest videos ever with him fighting everyone from Clutch the Bear in Houston to the Raptor in Toronto. He's averaging 1.3 blocks a night. Langston Galloway is leading the team in steals with 1.2. Real quick, Sylvia, what are your thoughts about the home and away games that the Heat are going to be playing against this New York Knicks team?
Right. First of all, I'm surprised they have a good record, 7-6, right? Which is much better than last year's team. I'm also surprised about Carmelo Antonino with 3.5 assists. That's not bad because he's usually a ball hogger. It's all about him. Let me see. Lopez, which is awesome. You know, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to dominate the rebound. Afilo, which is a great player as well. He was great with the Denver Nuggets, you know. And he's averaging 12 points per game, which is not bad. But Carmelo Anthony is just dominating the team, which it's a given. The rest of the guys are doing all right.
I would say Carmelo's taken a step back from where he was earlier in his career, but considering he's coming off of major knee surgery, I have been impressed by what he's done this season. And looks like the Knicks might be able to sneak in at the end of the playoff picture. But we'll talk a little bit more about this game during the week. And the final opponent that the Heat are playing this week, the Detroit Pistons, They've got a record of 7-5 so far this season. They're averaging 97.2 points a night. That's good for 25th in the league. Their defense is their scoring defense is ranked fourth with 96.4 points allowed each night. They're 27th in offensive rating and fifth in defensive rating. Their upcoming schedule is they're playing tonight against the Washington Wizards. Monday, they host the Milwaukee Bucks. They play the Heat on Wednesday. And Friday, they host the Oklahoma City Thunder. And their two injuries are actually significant ones that have been on the books for a while. Point guard Brandon Jennings, he's out until about Christmas time, recovering from a torn Achilles he suffered back in January, or was it February? It was earlier this year. And then Jody Meeks is out for another 3 months, recovering from foot surgery.
Wow. Two major injuries, though.
Yeah. And because of this lack of depth with their injuries, and then just some of the guys on their bench aren't great, like Aaron Baines and Steve Blake, who's always going to be the homie. Maryland Terp helped my old school win the 2002 championship game, but he's not the NBA player he was. I don't even think he's the player he was back in 2002 right now. But the Pistons team leaders are Reggie Jackson averaging 20.4 points a night, Andre Drummond averaging 18.3 rebounds a night. Reggie Jackson is also leading in assists with 5.6, and Andre Drummond is leading in both major defensive categories with 1.3 blocks tonight and 1.8 steals tonight, while third-year guard Contavious Caldwell-Pope is leading the team in minutes played with 37.7 points minutes tonight. Sylvia, real quick, what are your thoughts on the Pistons?
Right. First of all, you know, I think this is the first time Reggie Jackson has been one of the leaders, right, in a team. He's always been a factor, but not as the leader.
Yeah, if you remember, he started his career being the backup point guard in Oklahoma City and basically forced his way out. There were just a number of bad reports. He effectively was like, hey, trade me. I'm going to make the locker room miserable until you do. And he was deadline trade to the Pistons. Had an all right season last year, but he looks to be a lot better this year and is actually worth the starting role. And you just got to give props to Sam Presti. That Oklahoma City front office has got to have the best scouting agency in the world, considering this is the second impact starter who they've traded away. And the Thunder is still one of the best teams in the league. That's just mind-boggling when you think about that. That's the fourth franchise-building piece who's been drafted by this Oklahoma City front office. Andre Drummond, he's finally looking like the absolute beast he did when he came out of Connecticut a couple of years ago.
Right.
Stan Van Gundy is just working wonders with him and this team. They play ridiculous defense. It's like they followed that Vine. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a Vine of Stan Van Gundy last year just screaming at the top of his lungs, telling the team to build a wall. There's another word in there, but given we're a family-friendly show, I can't say that on air.
Right.
But you get the idea of what type of wall he was telling them to build.
Yep. Well, to all the Heat, loyal Heat fans, Stan Van Gundy once coached the Heat team years and years
ago. Yeah, that's right.
He was a great coach.
He was actually the coach when Dwayne Wade was a rookie.
Right.
Yeah. And also, he's very famous for his years in Orlando. Took them to the NBA Finals in 2009 before he was the casualty of Dwight Mayer. If you remember that, when Dwight Howard was like, I want to stay in Orlando, but I really want to leave, and that whole mess.
Right.
But enough about that. All right. Sylvia, are you ready to move on?
Yes, I am.
All right. Real quick, I want to talk about the D-League team, the Skiathon Falls Skyforce. Right now, they've got an 0-2 record. They lost to the Iowa Energy last week, 98-25, and then lost to the Westchester Knicks last night, 107-94. Now, they are going to be playing four times in the upcoming week. Tonight, they're going to be playing the Erie BayHawks, who are Orlando's B-League team, and that game is tipping off at 7 p.m. tonight. You can catch that game along with the rest of the D-League games on YouTube, which is actually a pretty awesome thing. If you feel like watching some decent basketball and want to know who some guys who are at some point this season going to make some appearances for the Heat, right, even if it's just a cameo, or they end up being a major part of the rotation, like Tyler Johnson or Hassan Whiteside, who both started their Heat career playing in the with the Skyforce. All right. Wednesday night they play the Grand Rapids Drive. That's Detroit's D League team. And then on Friday and Saturday they play two games back to back against the Maine Red Claws, who are the Boston Celtics D League team. Sylvia, how familiar would you say you are with the D League squad?
Zero.
All right. Well,
I'm not familiar with the D-League.
I would say that you should probably get familiar with the team because,
yes,
like I said, your favorite Heat player, Tyler Johnson, started his Miami career with the Skyforce and his Hassan Whiteside before he played a significant amount of time with the team last year.
I agree. I should get more familiar. You're absolutely right.
All right. Any other things before that you want to talk about with this Heat squad that's happened over the last week before we get into the trivia portion of today's episode?
Let me see. Well, they've been playing, you know, especially Wade on Thursday. He stepped, I think it was a key player for the Heat winning that game. So then you remember, you know, the Kings, they had the lead a couple of times, and Wade in the third quarter just stepped up. You could tell he wanted to win, you know. Amazing.
Hassan Whiteside did too.
Right. Yeah, he stepped up in the third quarter because he didn't play in the first. He only played a few minutes in the first half. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Tyler Johnson was phenomenal off the bench.
Oh,
he started,
yes,
if I'm correct,
yes,
5 for 5 from the field, finished with,
yes,
16 or 17 points. I don't remember, and I don't have the box score right here in front of me. But he played a phenomenal game. Just
right.
Absolutely phenomenal.
I like when Coach Spo, you know, he does that rotation where he only leaves Chris Bosh, and then he has the second unit. That's really been working. You know, I think that was the case on Thursday, and that worked every single time.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has been a huge thing for the Heat, just being able to have the versatility, especially because they can go small playing either Luol Deng or Justice Winslow at power forward and either leave Hassan and Whiteside or Chris Bosh at center, because Bosh played center a lot of the time during the Big Three era. And you don't really lose a lot of rebounding because both Whiteside and Bosh have been fantastic on the boards this season.
Right.
They're both averaging double digits in rebounding. It's just great.
Yes, it is.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into the trivia portion of today's episode?
No, you can go with the trivia.
Okay. Now, first things first, the answer to last week's trivia question, that will be one Alonzo Mourning, a.k.a. the greatest center in Miami Heat history. Yes, I know Shaquille O'Neal was on the roster, but he did most of his work. Most of his best years were in either L.A. or Orlando.
Right.
We're talking about a guy who was a multiple defensive player of the year in Alonzo Mourning, Hall of Famer, was able to come back after kidney disease almost ended his NBA career. It threatened his life at one point, so you just got to can't say enough about him as a player and a man. He's currently part of the Miami front office, if I'm correct.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, just one of the Heat lifers and all-time greatest players and a member of that first 2006 championship team. Now, keeping in theme with what we've been going with these guys, our trivia player tonight is also a member of the 2006 Miami Heat championship team. This guard has the same name as two other famous NBA players, one who only ended up playing 1 year for the Chicago Bulls before a motorcycle accident ended his career, and the other who played for the 76ers and the Nets, but is a little more famous for unfortunate incidents that happened at his house. But, yeah, you can Google that if you want to find out more about that incident. I am not the person who should be talking about that. he's one of the guys who had this player has one of the most iconic nicknames of the late 90s, early 2000s. He spent years with both the Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies before landing in Miami to finish out his career. And the NBA just released a highlight tape for him for his 40th birthday. Now, Sylvia, you got any more hints for our fans to know about this mystery Heat player?
Should we tell them the nickname or no? And I'll give it away.
The nickname will give it away, but if you're a true hoophead, you definitely know who he is.
Right.
Reminds me a little bit about Macadamia Nuts, if that doesn't give it away. if you honestly can't figure it out who it is by now, I'm not sure if you're going to get him unless I just blurt it out. But
right. Anyways,
if you know the answer to this, tweet at me, J-I-L-O-R-I underscore 22, Sylvia, at Coach Giuvera, G-U-E-V-A-R-A, 205,
right.
And our station, at 305 Sports and Life, again, at 305 Sports and Life, using the hashtag and tell us this Heat player's name. Again, use the hashtag HeatWave. Tweet at me, J-I-L-O-R-I underscore 22, at Coach Giuvera 205, G-U-E-V-A-R-A, and at 305 Sports and Life with the mystery player's name. All right, we'll be back at 6:30 to pregame tonight's bloodbath between the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm Joshua Lurie.
I'm Coach Giuvera.
All right, and we will be back with Heat Wave next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Be sure to tune in at 6:30 tonight for us to pregame the game against the 76ers.
The Heat is on!